Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hello again, and welcome to another edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. This is Tom Langer from the Health Department. I'm your host, and with me today, as always, is my sidekick. Actually, more than a sidekick, my right arm, or about half the body. Allie, how are you doing today?
I am doing okay, thank you.
Yeah, we've got friends here today.
I'm excited. These are some good friends.
This is going to be an invitation for everybody to listen and learn about some organization or organizations in our community that you may not know a whole lot about. And with us today, we have Yasmin Wood. Hello, Yasmin.
Hey, Tom.
Tell me a little bit about you and the Legacy Foundation and who you have with you today.
So I am privileged to serve as the CEO of Legacy Regional Community Foundation. We are an institution in our community that was founded in 1996. We're knocking at that 30-year mark, not so very far away, of really just building wealth for the community. And I say building wealth because we are all about building capacity in our people, in our organizations, in our institutions, but also financial wealth, that we have endowments and funds that people have established with us, donors have established with us, to help there to be available monies to address the things that are important to us in our community. Sometimes those are really big, critical issues. And sometimes it's something much more enjoyable, like building a playground or helping enhance a city park. But it's really a broad, some folks like to think of it as a community checking account or savings account or community chest if you're a Monopoly player.
Right.
But it's really about building the future of our community.
Okay. We're going to dig into this a little bit. And tell me a little bit about this guy sitting next to you.
So we are so excited to have a new employee at Legacy Foundation. And Tim Rosbury just joined us the 1st of February. Thank you to the Kansas Health Foundation, who provided us with a 3-year grant. Tim is our new capacity building coordinator at Legacy.
Welcome, Tim.
Hi.
Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
You got to imagine there's that huge crowd out there.
Right.
We're glad that you're on board. I know for a fact in the time that I've been in Cowley County, we have worked a lot together, Yasmin. You and I have, it seems like every time there's a meeting, we're in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we work at different organizations, there is a group of people, Allie, and you're getting to see that more and more, that always seems to show up, you know, when there's work to be done. And that's what this conversation really is about, because I understand what the Legacy Foundation is all about, but I don't know that a lot of people do. And so I'm going to kind of dig at a few of the things that I know we've been involved with, or that we've seen and we've watched closely, and we've even talked about. I came from, of course, you know, a much larger community before I came to Cowley County. I was in Topeka, and I worked for state government, and I was involved with United Way in Topeka. And I think most people know what the United Way is and how those things work. And when we've been down here, I was kind of sad, because it didn't seem like our community had that type of a resource where people could contribute to a fund, you know, and get a tax write-off, and then those dollars be allocated to organizations that they support or that they wanted to, like you say, endow. And that's one of the things I think that I really like about the Legacy Foundation, is that it has the capability for people to do something like that. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely true.
And there are other things too, like, you know, available scholarships from a lot of organizations. I know that we started one last year, which, by the way, it's that time, kids, if you're listening out there, you best start looking for those scholarships, because applications are going to be due pretty soon. and don't let those things pass by. And I think Legacy is a great resource for somebody to call, parents saying, hey, what might be available in the community that they don't ever see or hear about? Of course, there's that giving portion of it too, which I think is most important for people that they say, yeah, the community's been good to me, and I'm getting to a certain point where I don't have all the bills that I used to with the kids and everything else. They've grown up, and now I want to give back to the community. And you know, reaching out to you guys to set something up like that, I think, is also what you do, right?
Absolutely.
If I stray or if I don't have it right, because I do want to frame it in terms that I think the person just on the street would better understand.
Yeah. So, well, honestly, the easiest way to think about Legacy Foundation is to think about the three words: give, grow, grant. Donors give to the Legacy Foundation, which is a 501c3,
right,
which means it's tax deductible to the full extent of the law. They give to us. We invest that money. We're able to get really good rates because of the pooled investments that we have. And then we give it out as grants and scholarships. And when you mentioned scholarships, we gave out over $150,000 in scholarships last year.
That's amazing.
To local students. So they weren't competing on a national level. They weren't competing on a state level. Sometimes they were actually only applying with other people in their school. And some of them are helpful. They're in the $250, $300 range. Others $5. We have some that actually are renewable for 4 years that can total up to almost $20,000.
That's amazing.
And that's really amazing for a community of our size and a foundation of our size. So, yes, if you can think give, grow, grant, then you can get the essence of us.
We were talking about that with Eric Burr when he was in, and I mentioned the Legacy Foundation because one of the things we spoke to was a lot of the work that we do. Health department is big in this. We see opportunities that come along that we are positioned to enhance our services. It's something that we might be doing internally, dealing with chronic disease, dealing with tobacco use and wanting, you know, cessation. And opportunities come from time to time for grant dollars to flow in, and we kind of expand our services during that. The lead poisoning prevention one is a big one that we're working on right now. And it has a direct tie-in to what happened because of the Legacy Foundation,
right,
which we'll talk about. But what we also know is that when you get those funds in, that they are short term. Maybe if you're really lucky, you're going to get those for a year or two, maybe, you know, three or four at the most. And then that funding stream generally dries up and goes away. And so as you build your programs, we try to build in resiliency and ways for it to continue to thrive even after the grant funding goes away. And that's where we were looking at saying, you know, we've got to be smart and we've got to talk to Legacy and we've got to maybe find a way to put something there and then open an account and invite people to give to that specific cause.
Absolutely.
I guess it would be the West.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I think that's a great word to choose. You know, there was a time when community foundations were very transactional, and they would just receive a donation and they would put it in the endowment and they would do that, giving out the grants or giving out the scholarships. We will never not do that. But Legacy Foundation in particular has taken on a role of helping to transform the community, taking on a leadership role where we bring people together, we compel people to talk with one another and work together so that we know what parts we have in that. And yes, we make it very accessible for anyone to be a donor. If they have a cause, an issue that like they'd like to address, a place of interest that they want to invest, they can actually have a named fund for an investment of just $5,000, and even just take some time to get to that threshold. But anyone can contribute at any level at any time. And we've been able to pilot it with the city of Winfield, but we have a payroll deduction program.
That's cool.
So businesses that want to work with us, their employees, where in many other instances, they're giving to just a pooled fund that it goes to, and then somebody else decides how it works. With Legacy Foundation, with a software that we've been able to implement, we are able to direct it exactly where that individual wants it to go. So if they say, we want to address lead poisoning in our county, and we're working with the health department. They can do their payroll deduction and say, direct it to lead poisoning. If they want to direct it to any one of a number of other funds that we have established, and we can do pass-through. We have a number of folks that are giving to one of the scholarships at Cowley College through their payroll deduction because we can make that possible. So, yes, there's a lot of opportunity for people to be engaged and involved at whatever level they want to with giving and philanthropy in our community.
Allie, we were talking about some of the ways that we became really aware of the importance of what Legacy is doing. Talk to Yasmin a little bit about some of the questions we had and we discussed earlier.
Sure. So as our listeners know, I am our health department epidemiologist, and that means that I am interested in all things data, what that means for our community, how we can improve. So my interest, and really when the health department started paying very close attention to the work that the Legacy Foundation was doing, was when they organized their series of data walks. Yasmin, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your data walks?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were recruited by the Kansas Association of Community Foundations to participate in a learning cohort for a grant that they received from the Charles Mott Foundation. And this was just five selected community foundations that were to learn about the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations. And there are 17 of them, and if everyone in their corner of the world just addressed these 17 issues, then we would be in a much better place. But we were charged with not only learning about it, on an international level, we were meeting over the course of 2 years with people to understand how they were using them to align their foundation work, but then given a grant to move the needle on one of the goals in our community. And as my team came together that had been going through this learning process, some of them said, we need to address childcare. Childcare is very important, and I don't think there's anyone that's going to deny that. We drilled down with a why and why and why, and it really came down to the issues of poverty in our community. And so the other part of my team said, well, we really need to address housing because housing is so essential with those social drivers of health, where you live, what kind of environment you have, that we do that. And again, the why, and it was down to the poverty. And so what if, because that's the first of the Sustainable Development Goals is no poverty, what if we address that and how could we do that? Really drawing attention to the fact that we have a great deal of poverty in our community. It's generational. Sometimes it's situational, but it's generational in many cases. And what could we do to really make a difference? And so we worked together with the Kansas Health Institute to find open source data that people would be able to go back to and see what kind of progress had been made. And we pulled these 16 indicators together around those social drivers of health, around housing, around childcare, around education, around food systems and food insecurity, and the demographics of our community, and held an event. And the first one was November 29th.
I remember.
And Tom was there.
I was there.
And we moved people through these different stations and afforded them the opportunity to have conversation. And it was really interesting as we were planning this and working with some of our technical advisors. They were saying, well, so are you going to have someone there to explain the data? I'm like, no, I trust our community. They can look at this information and draw together what their perceptions are of it. And they said, okay, but somebody's going to take notes, right? And I said, no. We don't want people saying you said or he said or she said. It needs to be something where we can create this trusted environment of really learning together. And it was really powerful. It was really powerful. And then that first event happened. And then we got a call the very next day of when are we going to do it again? And people saying, I want to give to this cause. And so we established funds. And over the course of the next year, like almost 12 months to the day, we held nearly 30 events.
And they were all over the county.
They were all over the county, right. And in a lot of different situations. One of my favorite events, and they've already actually contacted me to meet with them again this year, but is my eighth grade friends at Winfield Middle School. And then they took that information and they worked on language project, but came up with what I call a social science fair because they came up with a question they wanted to solve and a solution they thought would be possible and then presented it to the public. And it was an amazing learning time for them and for us. And out of that year of people learning and understanding and digesting this information and talking about it and chewing on it, we had a kickoff for CALIX. Mm-hmm. And CALIX is an acronym for Addressing Challenges Together, because it's not enough to just know this information. We now are responsible for doing something about it. And so we are in the process of moving out, rolling out CALIX with real focused task areas around childcare and around housing, no surprise on either of those, around health, mm-hmm. and also resource optimization. And that's one that, you know, is still kind of figuring out how they're moving and working because it's a really big concept.
Yeah, well, I have to applaud that because, you know, you've heard me talk so many times about, well, we can all get together and we can look at things and we can talk it to death. But it's at that point that you really have to do something about it. And I'm thrilled that this is kind of bringing people to the table that are not just the same dozen or so that we always see at the meetings. Because while I like you, it gets kind of tiring after a while. We're just always talking to each other. and so it's nice to see new people come to the table and listen to what they have to say and have them hear and learn from us as well as we try to move these things forward. Now, I want to go back to the data walk itself because there were a series of, I'll call them banners, but they were like large signs that made up these stations. Are those, for people who didn't have the chance or didn't engage with it, are those slides or is that information still available for people to look at electronically?
Absolutely.
And where is that?
So, yes, the banners physically are still available and able to be put up and presented still if people have an interest in that. But more importantly, because it's there 24/7, on the legacyregionalfoundation.org website, legacyregionalfoundation.org, you go onto the landing page there and there's a button that says CALIX, and that will take you into the area that has all of the information about how this unfolded. There are videos there that tell the story of our community around the poverty question and those social drivers of health. There's also one about mental health, and there's also one about access to food.
Right.
And so there are those there for them to look at. But if you go one more click in, you can get to each one of the banners and see what the sources of the data are and information is.
That's cool. I know we're going to link that stuff, right?
We'll put that in our episode notes
and those things. But I want to really encourage people to get out there and take a look at this stuff because it may not resonate with you today, but in 6 months it might. Things so rapidly change in people's lives, living in one place and then you move and all of a sudden you have a new set of challenges and those things come back around. And I know too that in the time that the data walk occurred, the very first one, the subsequent things that came along, they all kind of interconnected, hand in glove, you know, to a lot of the other things that other organizations are working on. Everybody at the health department, of course, supports public health activities and what we do. And then as an organization, we're members of Rise Cali, which Legacy is a member of, and you will hear us talking about all of these organizations. And I wonder sometimes, do people really understand how that umbrella works and how we all are interconnected? And I would invite them to visit your website, to visit ours, to visit the Rise Cali website, and to learn about what's available and what's going on in the community, because we've been impacted by it in what we do and how we think and how the systems change, because we too want to make sure that we are part of the solution and not always just sitting here complaining and whining about the problem.
Right.
And that's hard for people to get, especially when we take on big things like health and all policies and that stuff. But it's important. Those are the types of things in the way of thinking and doing that will make fundamental and long-lasting change for the better, not just in Winfield, but in all of Cowley County. And that's what we're all here trying to accomplish. So tell us about some of the other projects or things that, you might be involved with through Legacy or through ACTS. Or, I know about them. I know, yeah. You know, like say we're, well, every time there's an agenda, your name's on it, you know. So.
Well, and yours.
Yeah, I know.
We see each other coming and going. But really, that's one of the really amazing and great things about our community is that we do know each other. And we do know how we can work together and what each other's doing and how that can be dovetailed into something that's greater than what any one of us could do by ourselves. And I think that that's really important because, you know, I mean, just like we talked about the Rise Cowley piece of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Pathways Grant and where we started with that and years ago talking about health in all policy and talking with our technical team and them really wanting us to roll things out in a particular way and saying, you know what, our community's not ready for that. We're not in a place that they're going to be ready to do this work. What if? And we did a pivot and we went into the storytelling. And out of the storytelling came the data walk. And the first night of the data walk, Tom, you said, and what we need to do next is health in all policies. When we're strategic in a really positive way, bringing all of our partners together, we can move further and move faster and have a greater impact. And that's what I think is important.
I think a lot of people don't realize the importance of how we think about problems. Government is very good at their solution, which is if you complain enough, they will throw money at it, but it's very short term. And if people want to think about a recent example, take the pandemic. Pandemic came along. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You know, all of the chaos that went along with that. But how did the federal government respond? Let's write the check. How much is this going to cost us to spend to make this go away? And a lot of things happened with that money. Even here in our county, we've seen things occur because of pandemic funding. Mm-hmm. In this building, we are sitting right next to what used to be a kitchen. It has now been converted into a lab so that we have greater capacity to deal with testing for illness and outbreaks when they come up. That is what the government does. But again, as I mentioned earlier, it's not sustainable. It'll be there and then it goes away again. And so if you don't make a real systems change during the time when you have a crisis, you lose out on how things go. At the data walk, that very first one, I was in one of the groups, and I listened, and I heard elected officials ask the question, yeah, well, how do we fix this? Because then they're willing to make a commitment, but they haven't perhaps thought of what the solution would be. And that's where the health and all policies remark came into. It's like we have to adopt a framework mentally that when we're thinking about changes that we make, does it support good health? Does it support economic development? Does it support environmental safety? All of those things. It's just one of those items that we have to look at because so many times we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And then 10 years down the road, we've got a bigger problem than we had before.
Right.
And that is it. And housing and lead poisoning and all of those things are offshoots of that. And it really did come full circle because everybody saw that one particular banner about lead poisoning in children.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I could tell you all about this. You know, I knew the whole gamut of it. But other people didn't realize, and now they're like, you've got to tell us more. We don't get this. So what it did is it opened the door to where people are now wanting to understand why it is and how do we fix it. And that's where we're getting involved with it because we also do the testing and the checks for that. And it has spurred something up, and that's kind of one of our big projects that we'll be working on over the next year with the end goal of having enough data and enough community involvement that we will be able to present significant policy change to elected officials to say, hey, how do we put this into our codes, or how do we put this into policy so that we don't have the same thing happen again decade after decade after decade? On this particular issue, I tell people, kids born in the 2020s are paying for problems that occurred in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And we've got to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, because we just can't continue to do that.
Well, the thing about this, I think that's so significant, is the fact that a lot of times there's a checklist of if we do this, then this, and this, then this. And you know how you move through it. Well, those technical fixes is what we call them. Those technical pieces we can take care of, and we are incrementally doing those things. But when you have something that's in its environmental, as the lead is, or that you have problems that are as large as poverty is, or access to healthy food is, I mean, those are really adaptive problems that there's not just one answer, because if there was, we would have already taken care of it.
Right.
And so all of us figuring out what we're bringing in this intertangled problem, that's a word that came out of that night, an intertangled problem, has been really powerful. And just as much as, I mean, you absolutely know those numbers inside and out. Mm-hmm. And the school district, they know those education pieces inside and out. And everyone had their segments, but the power of the data walk was bringing all of those people together in the same space, in mixed groups, and move through all of this to say, I know this and this is impacted by, but have you thought about that? And I didn't realize how much this was impacting this too. And so really that was, I think, the greatest power. And moving people to a place of real understanding from things that we know. It's data, it's fact, it's something that we know rather than what we think we know, mm-hmm. What we believe we're observing, what we think we know in our hearts. And no one came into that wanting to see what they saw.
Right.
And people didn't necessarily feel good when they left, but they did feel like they had information that they were able to then move forward and acting on. And that, and again, it's not that we can fix it today or tomorrow. It didn't happen overnight. It's not going to unhappen overnight either. But unless we interject some of these really intentional interventions into making change, we're not going to have anything different. The outcomes are going to continue to be.
And this goes into so many different areas. You know, we talk a lot about, oh, economic development. Oh, we need to have good jobs and we need to have good employers and all that. But if you don't have a community that is healthy and it's moving the right direction, employers don't necessarily want to come and open up a shop there because they need a good, stable workforce. And the people that are going to be coming in with them, they want to have a community that thrives and has amenities for them in that community. What this work does is more than just protect health or the environment. It promotes economic development and it promotes that kind of stability. And we've seen the decline of rural communities across America. And especially we've seen it in our state, where the farm communities, they get smaller and smaller and smaller, and they almost disappear. And all people do is pick up and move. They go somewhere else, and they still will run into the other problems. Isn't it nice to envision a community where we see our problems, and we have a group, or we have groups that sit down and say, hey, let's put aside any kind of politics or anything else, and let's focus on what's important to all of us, and that's where we live. That's why people want to live in Ark City, or they want to live in Winfield, or Burden, or Udall, because it's a good place to be home and to have family. And those places are becoming harder and harder to find. And organizations like Legacy, where we can get together and we can pool resources to, again, make things happen in an intentional fashion, not accidentally, I think are the shining stars of why communities the size of Cowley County shine. We know each other. You know, I remember what it was like being the brand new person now. But you get into this 9-10 years, and it's home now, and it's a different feeling. And so those are really important things to me. And I know we've talked. I want there to be more attention brought to this. Mm-hmm. And I want people to ask the questions, the hard questions is, you know, like, why is it this way? And why can't we do something? And then engage, because you can't just ask the question without making a commitment to roll up your sleeves and be part of the solution. Allie, what do you think? You're the young one at the table. You see the community. You came here as a Southwestern student, right?
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about your perception of what happens. And, you know, you're involved with this. And tell us, you know, your comments or your thoughts.
Sure. Well, I think one of my favorite quotes about data is that data without action is just trivia. So this project from the onset has been very interesting to me, because I knew from the, at the time, limited context I had with Legacy Foundation, I knew that them leading this charge was not going to be that. I knew that the data walk was going to be a starting point, and there was going to be more to come from it. So that's very encouraging. Another thing that I think is really great, and one of the reasons I came into public health, was that public health really expands and contracts based on the needs of the community and what's available. And I think that in a lot of ways, we're very similar in that sense. So it makes sense that we would be partners with Legacy Foundation. But really, I think Cowley County is very fortunate to have a public health system that they do. But I also think that Cowley County is pretty privileged to have the Legacy Regional Community Foundation, because other foundations aren't able to do this. And so those are my thoughts. I think that Cowley County is a good place to be.
Yeah, I always look to things, you know, we've talked sustainability. How do we keep it going? One of the things that has amazed me, and you mentioned it in your opening remarks, is how people in the community will come together. We have a problem, we will turn to each other and help, regardless of what our station is. But to have a methodology behind it, to have a real way of doing this, I think is just something that's going to be the hallmark moving ahead. And we're planting trees that are going to grow and other people are going to sit in the shade of.
Absolutely.
You know, and to me, to where I have been now in my career and knowing where it's going and the day that I will hang up the hat, doesn't mean that I'm going to hang up my involvement in community.
You've already promised.
Yeah. I've promised.
Oh,
that.
I know. I'm taking notes too.
because, you know, and to me it is that way. And so this to me is the aspect and why it's going to be very, very important. And I want to use this platform, you know, the podcast and everything else, to get as many people to ask questions about it, because that's where it begins. You ask the questions, and you give Tim a call, and you ask him, and force him to talk. You know, and he's learning right now, and that's wonderful. I understand that, because that's the quiet person in the room is generally the one that's listening and just absorbing everything, because their day to do the talking is coming. So, how do people on the street get involved? Maybe they don't know what cause they want to, but they want to learn more. How do we go about having them do that?
Well, I want to share just a couple more things.
Sure.
Real quick. That, you know, and you mentioned the pandemic earlier. Mm-hmm. And during the pandemic, the nonprofits were the ones that were the boots on the ground alongside our government and making things possible for our community, for us to have food. I mean, Legacy stepped in a large way with friends and partners that we worked with for a long time, K-State Extension, you know, helped us with the Cow Project. And we worked with the Chamber of Commerce with, you know, some of the donations being able to be returned in to our nonprofits. So there was a lot of work there, but people reached out to Legacy because Legacy had those relationships and connections. And that's a lot of the work that Tim is working to build right now too, is those relationships and connections. And so whether people are connected to us through a nonprofit that they care about, or they're directly connected with Legacy Foundation, we're happy to be that resource and that hub and that help to them. So connecting, and you know, I have a theater background, mm-hmm. and we've talked about that a lot, but it's a yes and. Yes, this is an issue, and how are we going to address it? Yes, and that is information that we need, and how are we going to do this? So it's yes and. And I think that in this world, you mentioned about, you know, this community where people live and work and raise their children is special in its own way. And it has its challenges, but in a world today where people can work remotely from anywhere in the world, why not choose here?
Why not?
And we want to have the community that has the resources and is the way of life that they can make that choice and want to make that choice. And I think that it through all of this, it's that stewardship piece. And that's what legacy is about. It's that stewardship, making sure that the gift that that donor gives to us is used in the best possible way to make the greatest impact. So that stewardship piece is something that each of us have when we work in our organizations toward sustainability and toward addressing these really big challenges. Now, if people want to get involved and they don't know where else to go in how to get a hold of us, they should just call the office and we're going to connect with them. And we're really try to be very attentive to talking with people and listening to them and understanding what it is that they hope to contribute, whether it is time or getting connected with a project or they have expertise. And so that would be like the, when all else fails, call the office. But jumping onto the website, really is getting a handle on what the Kelly Acts is about, understanding about Legacy Foundation, seeing our partners who we're connected with. Same thing for RISE, same thing for the health department, same thing for so many other nonprofits, and understanding what that web looks like, how we're all touching each other, working together with one another and supporting each other's projects. I think that's the way. Now, Kelly Acts specifically, if people know that they want to be involved with that work, there is on our website, again, a place inside that Kelly Acts piece where they can get on a listserv and start getting those updates as to when the meetings are happening and what's going on and what information we're sharing out. And we're in the process of building a website that is CowleyActs.org that will then be the house for all of that.
That's awesome. I know we were talking earlier today too about the data collection that, you know, is going on, and we still need more people probably to step up and help get surveys filled out.
Oh, right? Yes.
Hallie, we were like, oh no, because it's such an ambitious project that we're trying to undertake. And if we don't ask people and then interact with them, I think, you know, we'll fail. So spread that word around too and contact us about that. I just really want to probably tell people that the call to action that I have for them to expand their knowledge about these organizations that exist in our town, that they drive by on Main Street and they see the frontage or they see the sign, but they've probably never walked in the door or they've never asked themselves, what do they do? It's amazing, even the health department, some people who they know where it's at, but they've never been in. They don't know what it is we do. They get surprised when they find out the scope and the depth of the things that we're involved with. And that is another one of these programs and organizations, the Legacy Foundation, right here in Cali County, that I think is an underutilized resource and that people need to know more about. So thank you for taking the time out of your day to come over and visit with us about that. Any additional remarks or questions or stuff that we want to throw out?
I thank you for inviting us. I mean, it is a joy to work with all of you, and you challenge me at many turns, not every turn, but at many turns. But absolutely, if it weren't for the partnerships that we have and the others in the community that we keep meeting, coming right. and going, we would not be in the place that we are now. And, you know, people look at Cali County.
They do.
The people, meaning the people in our world, whether it's my other community foundations or people in the state or people in public health mm-hmm. or people in, you know, there are folks that are trying to replicate what we're doing and we're already three steps ahead more.
I don't want to put a feather in the cap, but we just came from the governor's public health conference mm-hmm. and Allie was in different meetings and I was in them and it was amazing the number of times that they spoke about how things are done. Well, here's an example. Look at what Cowley County's doing. Now, that was one of those goals that we had. And I says, we want people to see us as leaders. We don't want to be the ones that are just laying back, waiting for the scraps to fall.
We want to be the model.
We want to be the model. You know, we may trip and fall along the way, but I think it's much better to be out front charting the course as opposed to having to be in the dust and just be at the end of the line.
Absolutely. So. Well, and many people, I mean, are presenting at national conferences about the work that we're doing here. And people come up and talk with us afterwards and say, how are you? I mean, from all over the country, looking at what we're doing. And so, you know, as much as I'm always looking ahead as to what more there is to do and how are we going to, you know, strategically move through this, sometimes we have to pause and say, you know what? We're doing good.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes we wallow in the self-pity sometimes, you know. It's like, oh, terrible. Everything is so bad. And I'm like, no, it's not. You got to look around and you don't realize, you know, how it is in other places. And I hope people that are listening to this, they reach around and give themselves a hug and a pat on the back, because the residents of the community are part of this.
You know, and I think that we've been so intentional about trying to hear the voices from every corner of the community. Mm-hmm. And the community health needs assessment is yet another example of that. And like you said, you already had Sarah on to talk about how that's unfolding and what that's going to mean. But I mean, just simply the partners that are involved in that over our previous iterations, I mean, is so huge. And the fact that we take the lessons that we've learned through these other experiments, through, you know, the work that we've done, and say, okay, and now where are we?
Exactly.
And how can we take this tool and really use it for the benefit of everyone? And so I think that that's just amazing. And it's amazing to have thought partners and people who are willing to take the action to make those things different. And I appreciate it very much.
Again, thank you for coming on. So people in the community, stop by Legacy, call them, look at the website, come to the health department and talk to us. We'll point you in the right direction. The point is, get involved, because we need you. This we do for you.
For the community.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. But we need you to help us do it. And you know, we're not saying you have to, you know, do all the work, but man, you have to be a part of it. So thanks again, everybody. We appreciate it. I hope that this particular episode has been informative and educational for people. I think it's pretty much upbeat. Right?
Yes.
And as we always do at the end of each one of those, we will tell you to...
Until next time, stay well.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. Spring is in the air and temperatures are rising, and plenty of folks in Cowley County will be stepping outside to enjoy the great outdoors. However, enjoying the serenity of nature comes with its fair share of hazards, including ticks. Ticks can carry a variety of serious illnesses, including Lyme disease, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, and tularemia. Not to mention, some tick bites can even make you allergic to red meat. So before you hit the trails, take these tips from the local health department and stay safe. First, try to avoid tick habitats. Ticks like to hang out in tall grass, wooded areas, and overgrown places. So stick to the hiking trails and be mindful of any plants you brush up against. Next, apply an insect repellent with an effective ingredient such as DEET. Lastly, be sure to perform tick checks after spending time outdoor. Examine your gear, clothing, and your pets for ticks, and remove them as needed. Keeping these tips in mind can make all the difference when it comes to avoiding the serious illnesses that ticks carry. Helping you stay safe from tick bites, just another way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.